thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yes, the Urban Sports, and we're back. And actually, we're here with a familiar face. Actually, it's retro. We're back to retro mode. The family is complete again. It's a full circle. We'll now have the dynamic trio back in the building. I am Wally, and let me introduce to you, man. Formerly Mr. 85%. He told me not to call him 85% anymore. Formerly Mr. 85%. My man Ray Jeezy.
I appreciate the welcome. I'm hoping I can have a normal routine introduction next time because I'm going to be a regular again. So
you've always been a regular. Real talk, true story. Real world, seven strangers.
When's the last time I've been here?
I don't know, but you've always been regular.
We played tennis a couple months ago and we did a show on a Sunday.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the last time I've been here.
But so you've always been a regular.
I don't consider myself a regular, but you're on the
byline. You're on the byline. The byline says Will T. Wally and Ray. So yeah, you're always official, man. You're even still in that original Urban Sports Scene picture
Just to clarify, though, I want to reiterate that I am 85% correct. I just don't go by the name anymore for different reasons, which I'm not going to get into. What's up, Caleb? By the way, they're supposed to be listening tonight.
Oh, they are. Great. I'm glad for the family support. Anyway, if you want to call in, the number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. We are also on the BDSIR network. For other programming, visit www.bdsirnetwork.com. All right, let's get into our tradition, the pregame of the Nationals. They fired manager Matt Williams. Was it yesterday or a couple days ago?
It was yesterday.
Yesterday. Okay. Thoughts about that before we get into possible candidates for that job?
He lost the clubhouse. Plain and simple. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go beyond that. Of course, his decision making is well known, especially in the playoffs last season. A lot of people didn't agree with the personnel decisions he made. Jordan Zimmerman stands out, that performance against the Giants, but he lost the clubhouse. And once you lose the clubhouse, I don't think you can win a championship.
Yeah, I agree. It's not even just losing the clubhouse. It's to me, he managed like an inexperienced manager. If that makes any sense. Like, you see managers, rookie managers, that, you know, they make mistakes or whatnot, but simply the pressure got to him, and he wasn't like that dude in terms of being that my man Will T's in the building, man. Slammed the door like a G, man. That's my homie, man.
Like a grill in a football
field. You know what I'm saying? Will T saying, what's up, man? Say what's up to people. Will, your mic's up. Say what's up to the people, man.
What's going on, people?
You know what I'm saying? Hey, you know what? I said it, but I want you to say it right now, man. It's the pregame. Just say it real quick.
Why you getting to our tradition?
Score, man. Say it.
To our tradition, the pregame.
My man. So talking about now, it's like now it's full circle. The family's back. Break the band back together again, son. It's real out here.
I'm excited.
I'm very excited, man. The band. We're here. B. Murray. But anyway, back to the Nationals, though. Yeah, I felt like Matt Williams. He managed like a real rookie manager throughout that whole, but throughout that for two seasons, for like two seasons. That Otto Porter again.
It was.
He is killing.
Well, you have to look at it. The first season, you know, everything was fine and dandy because he was the manager of the year. Second year, you know, with the expectations notched up a little bit higher, and then also you have the end game. The situational in-game strategies that he messed up numerous times, mm-hmm. you know, I think that. And then I think maybe the final piece may have been him sending out Papelbon in a knife in that last home game.
Oh, you think so? Really?
The last home game.
Oh, you believe that? You don't think the decision was made beforehand?
No, I think that was the nail in the coffin right there.
Okay.
In terms of what? Just because he shouldn't have been out there at the time after that?
No, just from him not having a sense of what's going on
exactly.
on the bench, what even during the game.
That's what I wanted you to hit on.
I think that's what was the nail in the coffin.
You even heard reports. There were reports stating that Jason Wirth told Matt Williams that pretty much he lost control of the clubhouse. You heard it? Did you hear that?
Yeah, well? I heard that okay. report.
I heard Jason Wirth was tough to manage the entire season.
I've heard he's been a problem, period. I mean, he's a team. He was a team leader because he's so vocal. But I heard he's complicated to manage, though.
I don't know.
It's just a rumor. It's not a fact or anything.
For all intents and purposes, you know, by his style of play, he seemed like a very emotional guy, rah-rah, really into it. I don't know. I can't confirm or deny those rumors, but I do think that at a certain point, when you have when the players have a high level expectation of what they want, of what they think should happen, and then they see Matt Williams not making the necessary adjustments in games that really, from pitching decisions to defensive decisions, that jeopardized, you know, that lost them at least 6 games. You know, players, especially a veteran club like the Nets, you know, players see that and they start to may lose respect for the skipper.
All right, well, let's go to obviously possible candidates. It was a guy who played for the Baltimore Orioles, a legend named Cal Ripken Jr., shortstop Cal Ripken Jr., was rumored, to be honest, was rumored to be a candidate for this job prior to Matt Williams being hired. Now there's reports that he is now on their list. Would that be well, Rassie, you're shaking your head right now. Would that be something that would be a good hire? Or you just say no, you'll
think because he's inexperienced.
Gotcha.
I don't like that either. But I don't have any viable options. However, I'm a individual who loves controversy. So I would love Ozzie Guillen or what's his name? Valentine?
Oh, Bobby Valentine.
Yeah. I said Valentine. Sorry, Bobby Valentine. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
He lost a clubhouse in Boston, which is why he was fired. But I think he's a great manager. Like I said, no one would like either one of those hires but me. I would love Ozzie Guillen, even though from a political standpoint, I totally understand why people would not want him here. However, I don't think he'll take any crap from Jason Worth. Neither one of those guys would, or anybody else.
Jason Worth is a declining player, which is annoying. He's a declining player.
He is, but you can't tell him that.
Yeah.
And also, Jason Worth exemplifies what the Nats' problem is as a whole. They were arrogant, and it came back to haunt them. They haven't won anything. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just felt like they were arrogant, but go ahead.
The one guy, I know he doesn't necessarily have the experience as a manager, but a guy that I like, Dave Martinez, the bench coach for the Cubs. He's been with Joe Maddon for all of his career. Even though, you know, most people will say, well, the reason why this team lost is because the prior skipper didn't have any experience in managing at all. Even, you know, I think that, you know, a guy like Dave Martinez that's been Joe Maddon's number one lieutenant is, you know, on a day-to-day, see how, you know, being there on the bench, being his bench manager, I think a guy like that could work here. I want them to find the next up-and-coming guy.
So everybody wants to do that.
I just do. I don't want to go with a guy that, you know, he may have lost other places because he didn't have the right players or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Go with a new up-and-coming guy, a guy with fresh strategy and fresh perspective.
Well, you hear people like mention like Bo Porter. That's a guy that's been mentioned because he used to be on the staff. I think this team is better suited, would be better suited going after a manager who's been there before because of what they because of the pieces they have.
But if it was a younger team, going to pay.
They're like, I can't think of the manager for the A's, but a couple individuals who've been fired, but they've been to the postseason because this team is so talented and within their pitching staff, and they have good offensive weapons. It's not like putting a bunch of young players together who are talented, and then you want that up and coming manager to kind of guide them through. But this team is already a contender within talent alone right now. They're a contender with talent.
I mean, currently now, come next year, they might not be.
Well, that's true, because Zimmerman's probably going to be gone.
Jordan Zimmerman.
Ian Desmond's going to be gone.
Oh. But you got Trey Turner.
He's expendable.
Trey Turner.
Jordan Zimmerman, the pitching staff, is still one of the tops in baseball without him.
Yeah.
Span is
going to hurt. Fister will probably be gone.
Storn, the coach, of course, is going to be gone.
You know what? I would keep Storn. And just try to get rid of what's his face?
Papelbon?
Yeah.
Storm's got to go. He doesn't have the mental toughness.
He has no stones.
Thank you. Thank you for saying what need to be said.
He eats too much, too. He's gained weight since he's been in the league.
He's gained weight?
From my vantage point, he has. You know I'm totally against that.
I know you are.
If you're a professional athlete, I don't care what you do. If you play golf, you should not gain weight.
You should not be
unless,
fat.
Unless
totally
you don't
agree.
Get good checks.
Because you get your own personal chef.
Unless you drink too much.
That too.
John Daly.
A lot. There's a lot of individuals like that anyway. So, all right. So basically, like nobody believes that Cal Ripken Jr. could be a good manager for this team.
It's a risk.
Right
guy. It's
too much of a risk. And then how are you going to fire Cal Ripken Jr.?
they could fire him?
Good money
he's
move,
not. A, he's not an Oriole. I mean, they're not. A, he's not a, he good, would never wash the Nationals.
It could be, but he's still move. Like an ambassador to baseball that people just still hold.
You can fire anybody. You but, if you hey, if you suck, you can be fired.
Well, his dad was a good manager, though. I will say
not
that.
His dad was horrible.
You don't think so? You,
I mean, his dad was a. They never won with him. He was a good. I mean, if you want to look at exit.
Is he Wes Unseld? Is that what you
basically.
Saying?
Basically.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a stretch. I thought you were going to say no.
No. I'm honest.
Okay. His brother should be a manager then, Billy.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good one. Because he was never a star.
Could you potentially lure Orioles fans to the Nationals if you hire Cal Ripken?
Yes, you could.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's loved that much. You really could.
See, that's what I disagree. If Keith Brookin would have become the Cowboys coach,
that's different. You can't say that.
Okay, that's not compatible. Andre Rison, Deion Sanders. I'm a Falcons fan, by the way. I'm not an individual that follows people unless it's Scottie Pippen. Even that I stopped as I gotten older. But before, yeah, I mean, I followed wherever Pippen went. That's what I rooted for. But I don't believe that one individual has that much influence that you can, you know, call someone to change. Their team, who they root for.
Oh, no. Well, people do it all the time.
People,
they do it all the time.
There are a lot of bandwagon people.
They left the Bulls and whatnot. People do it all the time. But I'm going to read this comment off our Facebook page. My man, Chris, about Kyle Ripken being manager for the Nationals. He said, no, bad idea. Great players rarely make great managers. The Nats, with their talent, need an experience. Hand at the wheel. Seems like Bud Black is the favorite.
Totally agree.
Yeah, so I like that idea. Experienced manager. Anyway, MLB, one game playoff tonight. Astros versus Yankees. Tanaka versus how you say his name? I forgot how to say his name already. Kleichel. I got it. Kleichel. I do remember it. Kleichel. Dallas Kleichel. Let's talk about CC Sabathia real quick. He checked himself into a alcohol rehab center and will miss all the postseason.
It's the right thing to do.
The best thing for him.
Yeah,
he's got baseball. Baseball has nothing to do with this.
Y'all read the story about how he presented in Baltimore, or how he
drinking like for 2 days.
Well, not even that. I mean, he wasn't speaking to the media, even though they were talking to him. Some that have good relationships with him, mm-hmm. And then also he was kind of staggered, walking away, and was pushed into a cab by a friend or a teammate. So it was bad. I want to know why. That's what I want to know. I'm sorry. I know I'm getting off topic a bit.
Go on. No, you're good. You're good.
But see, that's a reminder to us. Even though Al, I want to. Does he listen? Does your brother listen?
Every
because
once in a while.
He always says, since we don't have millions, we can't relate to them or whatever.
said that before?
Yeah, because
I believe it. I'm just saying.
He used like a Floyd Mayweather quote. He's like, yeah, everything revolves around money. Since we don't have it, we can't relate. Blah blah blah. But my point is, it's just a reminder that money. Is not a cure-all. It's not everything.
I don't know.
Because he can still fall into, you know, life circumstances, depression, alcoolism, whatever. But I just wonder what pushed you to that, considering the position he's in and the talent that he has. Is it the pressure?
I don't think it's the pressure. I think it's easy to it's easy because it's right there for you. I mean, he can get whatever he wants. When he goes to a club, he gets bottle service. It's always around. Look at how a clubhouse is anyway. When they won the pennant, they were throwing beer and champagne, whatever. You heard about stories about the Boston Red Sox when they had alcohol all over the clubhouse, and they were drinking before and during games. So to me, it's not surprising. It's easy access. It's there for them. But I'm glad he saw it in himself. He did a self evaluation of himself. I know a lot of Yankee fans are like, they're hating on him just because of when he decided to do it. But who cares? In the grand scheme of things, you're not his wife. You're not his sons. You're not his children, whatever. He has to take care of him and his family. And he feels like doing this will take care of it. It will take care of one element that had an opportunity to destroy his family. I have no problem with that.
I totally agree. From an ignorant perspective, though, you ever seen Flight? Denzel Washington? How he dealt with his alcoholism?
Yeah.
Cocaine.
Yeah, cocaine.
He got himself together and he did what he had to do.
To fly that plane, right?
Exactly. So there was a way. There was a way to overcome for a short time period. But it would have been a short term fix to a long term issue. So I'm glad he did what he did. And fans are ignorant. We are a fantasy football, fantasy sports society where we only care about ourselves.
I know.
By the way, we should have talked about the whole FanDuel Fantasy Kings thing. Did you hear about that?
No, what's that? You break it down. Go ahead. If you know about something, bring it up, son.
I'm not going to go too far on the topic. I know you heard about it, though.
Yeah, I haven't.
I mean, one of the employees for Fantasy Kings made, what, $350,000 last week?
Supposedly, using inside information on inside data that he had.
Just on fantasy football, $350,000.
How can you do this?
That's crazy.
And I've been worried about, and I be thinking, I'm gambling on like stupid stuff, playing roulette and crap. And Bamba's playing fantasy football, making money.
Wrong profession right now.
This is terrible. That's why I tell people never play lotto. Yeah. Lotto will never give you money.
And look, he's not going to get fired. Right now, they say he did nothing wrong.
What kind of cookie is that?
Ugh.
Nah, you know what I'm talking about. We'll talk about that later.
I don't have nothing to do with that.
These dudes crazy.
Sure, y'all want some?
No, I got. I'm good, man.
I don't eat cookies.
I got to work out. Man. I got to work out after the show, so I can't even do any of that stuff. I'm talking about eating regular cookies, man. Sugar cookies, Dylan. But anyway, in terms of the actual the American League playoff game, who you have winning tonight?
Yankees fan, through and true.
Yeah, the Yankees winning?
True and through, yep.
Is there a reason why? You know, they're going with the potential Cy Young and Keuchel. That's the Cy Young pretty much for the AL. I guess Tanaka.
Yankees have that winning tradition, that's winning pedigree, and that veteran experience.
It's one game.
It's one game. It makes it so scary.
One and done.
So what's your thoughts about it, right? Who you have winning this game?
I'm going with the Yankees, too.
I know, right?
I can't pick against the Yankees tonight. The Yankees have been playing well all season.
I will say this. Major League Baseball needs the Yankees to win. Because you got, the winner of this game plays the winner of this game plays the Kansas City Royals. And that's not if it's Houston versus Kansas City, that's not an intriguing matchup.
It's not.
For ratings. And on the other side, you got Texas versus Toronto. Now, granted, you know, Toronto's a nice story, but in terms of market, it's like you look at it like
Spurs and Jazz.
Exactly. So you need in the National League, you have all great stories. You have great markets in the playoffs in the National League. So the MLB needs the Yankees to win this game, but I have the Houston Astros winning this game because of the pitching that you have the Cy Young Award winner going against Tanaka, who is a good pitcher though, but the Astros for a long time was the best team in the American League. They just got in a nice little slump. Cubs versus Pirates, one game playoff in the NL.
I like the Cubs.
All right, nice story.
Cubs.
I am going to go with the Pirates. Just because they've been there the last couple seasons, they're experienced at it. I feel like this is their time. And I just want McCutchen to get his opportunity to be a household name like he needs to be. Now, everybody knows him, but I think he's one of the better baseball players, period. I would love for him to have a deep postseason run. That's more bias on me. I won't even lie about that one, though. Let's go to boxing. We didn't get to mention it last week due to timing, but Amir Khan and Manny Pacquiao are in talks to fight in Vegas. Could this really go down, though?
I doubt it.
Is Freddie Roach? Is Freddie Roach training both? No, was he? He stopped training.
Trains Amir Khan. Manny Pacquiao trained by Freddie Roach.
Mm-hmm.
Amir Khan, his management is Al Haymon. So we know that the Al Haymon and Bob Arum dynamic doesn't necessarily mesh well. So that's why I say we don't know when it comes to this fight. If it'll get made, and then we don't even know if, you know, Manny Pacquiao is supposedly healthy. I think nothing was ever wrong with his shoulder, but, you know.
I think something was wrong with his shoulder, but continue, though.
No. If it does happen.
We'll know that something wasn't wrong.
What?
We'll know that something wasn't wrong with his shoulder, and something does happen.
Yeah. If it happens, we'll know there's nothing wrong with his shoulder. It could be an interesting fight because both fighters are quick and explosive. Very good hand and foot speed. But ultimately, I think Manny Pacquiao would get to Amir Khan's chin, tap his chin. But
question, because we talked about this before. If Pacquiao has an impressive outing against Amir Khan, does that put him – if Mayweather wants to fight again, does that put him into that realm?
Nope. I don't think we'll ever see a Mayweather-Pacquiao part two.
Even if there's a couple impressive Pacquiao performances?
Nope.
All right. I just want to know. I'll throw it out there, man, just in case. All right. So how about Adrian Broner?
Complete domination.
Yeah.
Did you watch the fight?
Nah, that's what I'm asking you.
It was complete domination from from the opening bell, Adrian Broner just was more physically dominating, had better foot speed, hand speed, fighting classic. Well,
how would you judge the class of the fighter that he was fighting?
B minus C fighter.
Okay.
He had no power,
mm-hmm.
had no average hand speed. But he had a pretty impressive record where, you know, if someone just saw his record, it would, you know, records are always.
Yeah, you would always just put somebody in a whole little light and say.
Yeah, with holding their record, depending on mm-hmm. the level of competition they faced. But it was another dominant performance by Adrian Broner. He went down to 140, recaptured another title, four-time champion at four different weight classes. Still relatively young guy, so, you know, sky's the limit if he continues to show the necessary advancement in skills and he fights comparable competition.
So the kid he's just called that he called out under Mayweather of the money team. What's his name? Ashley, I can't even say his last name.
Theopius.
Yeah, Theopius or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something like that.
All right. So are you familiar with this kid? Because I have never seen a fight.
I've heard about him. I haven't seen his fights actually. Okay. A lot of people say he's really explosive.
Because Mayweather pretty much said this is a kid that Broner had problems
Adrian
with.
Broner.
Yeah.
I can't say I've seen. If that's to be true or not, I have to watch a couple of fights of his. But we always see something classic whenever Adrian Broner gets in. Well, when he fought at 147, you know, he's real. I think at 140, he's one of, if not the strong, one of the stronger fighters at 140. So it'd be interesting to see how he holds up, stepping up a level of competition.
All right. I have one more question for you, man. You're my boxing aficionado. It wasn't about Broner. It was. Okay, here we go. He says that he's a new dude. Broner says he's a new guy. A new boxer. Did you see anything different about him? Because I still saw the same cheesy cornball dude. Sorry, I had to just put it out there.
You still saw the same antics towards mm-hmm. the end of the fight when he clearly had this fight locked up. You know, the only knock that's ever been against Adrian Broner is just his level of focus and mm-hmm. preparation come fight day. Some people find the antics entertaining. Some people think it has taken away from his his focus. You know, him wanting to be more of a celebrity or being entrenched in pop culture. But all he has to do is just get back to focus on, you know, get in the gym and do what he does best, and he'll continue to win. Al Haymon will line him up and, you know.
All right. Well, let's go to some basketball news. Kevin Durant, Stephen A. Smith had a Twitter war. It was very interesting. Kevin Durant called Stephen A. Smith a liar for assuming that he will be leaving OKC to go to LA. Stephen A. Smith didn't really flat out state it, but he just said some of his sources stated that it's a possibility. Kevin Durant just said, you know, he don't fool with Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith's a liar. And Stephen A. Smith recently, yesterday, said that you don't want to make an enemy out of me.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute.
WWE.
Yeah, that's extra. Like, you're real extra about that situation. You want to say something, Ray?
I don't. I'm not going to give Stephen A. Smith any type of spotlight for this, because this is what he wants, publicity. This is what he wants. He's trying to sell himself. Everybody's talking about this, and everybody's clowning him. But again, no matter if it's good or bad, this is what he's looking for. I'm a fan of Stephen A., but not when it comes to this type
but
of
it's the
business.
Same dude that made his fame off of being the players' reporter. Somebody the players liked because he didn't try to act like he was trying to drive him down or
I
this,
that,
and the other.
I won't say that necessarily.
To me, see, that's – or he was like –
I won't say that. Have you seen Black Magic, the documentary?
I haven't. I'm going to tell you.
You've seen – you know he started at a black college.
Yeah.
And he wrote some controversial stories even then.
Okay, Winston-Salem, right? You go to Winston-Salem?
Yes.
Okay.
So I believe that don't get me wrong, he's a great writer. He's worked hard. Allen Iverson, somebody obviously who took a liking to him. And Allen Iverson,
that's his claim to fame.
Allen Iverson, I mean, he was a trendsetter. He's somebody that I don't know how to describe it, maybe dominated his generation. He was the face of his generation. And anytime, you know, you're associated with him, just like North of Virginia or whatever, or Hampton, whatever, I think it's relevant. So he got to where he is for a reason. But I, again, I don't want to speak specific to that because, come on now. It's like you said, it's WWE. And you notice KD hasn't responded yet.
Yeah, that was
extra. You know, I look into this camera and I tell you, you don't want to make an enemy.
Who is he? Scarface?
Like Ray said, I respect his work immensely. He's one of the better journalists.
Talking heads, that's on
the four letter word. But that was extra. That's WWE. It's that's like Hulk Hogan. So nice. That's Randy Savage.
Come on now. What are you going to do? That was so extra to me, though. Like, you really? Like, you stand to me. You don't want. Basically, like, I'm paraphrasing. You don't want it with me?
Like, he's a mob boss.
Yeah, like you don't want it with
me? I'll report all of your business.
By the end of the, like, in 5 years, KD will be making extra X amount of money regardless. You won't be relevant
more
to you
than you'll ever see.
Yeah, you're not relevant to KD.
I don't think it has to do anything with
But I'm just saying, status. It's not. But I'm just saying, what do you, like,
status?
What? You don't want to make an enemy out of me? What are you going to do to my career? I drop buckets. You report that.
Well, see,
that's how I would say. I drop buckets,
you know,
report
that. He did a big disclaimer before that.
Huh?
He did a very big disclaimer before that.
What did he say?
I believe he's a good dude. Kevin Durant's a good family. I have talked to him. He's an absolute superstar. And you know how he is.
This is the same dude.
I don't mean to disrespect.
Exactly.
This is the same. I'll just put it out there. This is the same dude.
It worked because he pissed you off.
Yeah, exactly. It did work. What? He's the same dude that said garbage about Russell Westbrook. And then he got approached by somebody and backtracked. It's the same dude. He said some stuff about Russell Westbrook.
It's entertainment.
And Pop saw him in the crowd, and it was something totally
different. Remember after the whole Palace brawl, he was on ESPN and said, I wish you would throw something at me. If you see me walking in New York City, what you going to do with a suit on and a bad hairline? Seriously. What are you going to do? That's what I want to know.
Oh, man.
It's a joke, man. It is a serious joke.
Man,
how tall is he?
He's hooped, right?
Yeah, he's like 6'2".
He can hoop, right? You always talk about he boxes, too.
Yes, he is.
He said he can hoop, though.
He did play. He played college basketball.
High school. He didn't play college basketball.
Yeah, he
was a writer.
He played college basketball.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For who? Winston-Salem? Mm-hmm. Exactly. We went to Westbrook. You went to Morgan. We went to exactly. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't think that counts.
Oh, man.
I don't think that's credible.
All right, next topic down in pregame. SMU basketball team was suspended for postseason play for 2016. And Coach Larry Brown is suspended by how many games? Like 9 games. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Nine games.
This is like his second time of getting
Well, from my understanding, Larry Brown really, he doesn't pay homage to the NCAA rules when it comes to – so he thinks some of the rules are antiquated and dumb, which are understandable.
Yeah.
Like, you know, why can't he give a kid on his team a sandwich? Seriously, he thinks like some of the NCAA – he thinks some of the NCAA
rules
are dumb. For what they're alleging, I think this would be like totally egregious for what they're alleging that went on with – him with his secretary doing some of the work for a student.
Yeah.
But
it happens.
It shouldn't happen.
But it does happen.
I'm pretty sure it does happen.
McCants, it happens. People do their work for you all the time.
Huh?
People do their work for them all the time. Michelle McCants?
Yeah.
It happens.
I mean, you go to college and get an education.
Well,
to me, at a certain point, we got to realize that half of these kids aren't at school for an education. They're there to fulfill a requirement to play a sport.
And in these schools, and we're going to say it again, they're using these kids for the top dollar. And these kids will get what they need. They get their 1 year, and they'll go about their careers in basketball or whatever it may be after that and do well for themselves. Hopefully do well for themselves. That's how I look at it. But, yeah, the Larry Brown being suspended, I think it's funny. I mean, I feel like this can taint his career, his image as a coach.
I mean, I think his image is already tainted.
You think so?
I do.
Yeah, it is.
Even before this?
Yeah.
So what tainted this image?
New York.
Okay. I don't think that really did anything for him, but maybe
the way everything happened in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think USA Basketball tainted
him. And just that
shouldn't have.
And just always his reputation has been tainted. Because he only when he was in the NBA, he stayed places for like two, 3 years, and he wouldn't leave on the best of terms. Plus, you take into account when he was in Detroit, allegedly, it was what happened is when he was on his way out of Detroit, he was lobbying for the Cleveland Cavaliers job also.
Yeah, you know what you're getting when you get Larry Brown. He is an excellent coach. There's no denying that. It's just you get a lot of stuff with him,
mm-hmm.
a lot of baggage.
Anyway, it's time to go to another commercial. Well, to a commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking about the Washington Redskins' victory over the Philadelphia Eagles. It's called Victory Tuesday, right, Will T? Remember? We named that Victory
Blue
Tuesday.
Blue Moon Tuesday.
You call it Blue Moon Tuesday. I call it Victory Tuesday. All Redskins fans are happy. Anyway, it's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
We cookies.
When nothing seems to help, I go and look at a stonecutter, hammering away at his rock, perhaps 100 times, without so much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, it will split in two. And I know it was not that blow that did it, but all those that came before.
Life is good. 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 Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep the hits coming.
All right, we're back from break. What's up, Skylar Diggins? Wally and Will.
No Ray. Love for Ray.
I know.
It's okay. I don't deserve it.
You should, man.
Take 3 years off.
If you was on that,
you get a shout out. But you don't want to go to war with me, Skylar Diggins. I'm looking right in the microphone.
You
don't want to mess with me. I didn't do nothing.
Skylar is something special, though.
I didn't do nothing.
Skylar Diggins is something special, man.
I didn't do nothing wrong.
Shut up, dude. Shut up. Anyway, you go listen to our. What the hell? Oh, dang. Heard me again.
Echo.
No, that was actually, I'm listening to the actual recording itself. I was listening to our actual. It's delayed though.
Good. So you know what I mean? Curses.
Yeah,
you know the probability of that is pretty high.
It's very high. You can listen to our
not
show.
Not really. I'm chilling today.
Black military.
Eat your cookies. You can listen to
that's
it.
What
to
I'm doing.
You can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.walio.podbean.com. Walio is spelled W-A-L-E-O. We are also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Grid Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Still a Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Still a Fan. Again, our phone lines are open. The number is 240-478-3140. Our phone line, not lines, line is, again, the number is 240-478-3140.
Yeah. As I get back to the floor, I'm going to help with that, man.
Well, again, multiple phone lines?
We're just giving the information.
Oh, thank you. Cause
that was tough. What did you just say?
That's a lot.
I don't even know how to get in. I don't know how to get in touch with y'all, man. After that.
Dang, you trying to cry me?
Man, that was
that's
good.
Messed up,
that
sir.
Was awesome. 301-2-0-0-0-0. Well, John Thompson, man. You know what you say that? He couldn't remember that number for nothing.
Look.
It never changed.
Look, cuz.
Leave cookies alone, man. Sorry.
My man. Sorry. Oh, because glad. No, I'm glad to have Rage back, man. Mr. Comic Relief, man. I swear. How you used to fry?
Gotta
people,
have
man.
Fun.
You got to.
Gotta
all day,
fun.
Every day, man. Life's too short to not have
write
fun.
Write blogs and chill.
Oh, yeah. That's what we do. Hey, speak about your blogs, man. You just job holding it down.
I'll get there.
We'll
talk about Kirk Cousins.
I blog every day.
Hey, boy, so you were something else right now, boy. We'll tell you something else. All right, man. Redskins defeated the Eagles on Sunday 20-23. What are your thoughts of the game first before I get into like Jay Gruden's press conference? I have some audio of it.
I think what we saw was we saw a Eagles offense. We saw a coach that I think a lot of people are starting to hone in on certain subtleties of his offense. I think we saw a guy that isn't willing to change his offense to accommodate his team's strength and weaknesses. Anytime you leave your team, your defense on the field for 41 minutes, that's a lot. I don't think no defense should be left on the field for 41 minutes. That shows you've gone a three and out a lot, or, you know, you're scoring quickly, but you have no regard for game situation or anything like that, because you're refusing to run the ball to take time off the clock and give your defense some help.
Yeah, this isn't college. I agree.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, SEC football. We stated this before. When you see Oregon against an SEC team, a physical team usually beats that offense up. We saw that in college. And in the NFL, even look at some of the teams they struggle with in prior seasons, like the 49ers, the Seahawks.
Seahawks, you're trying like to infer that Washington is a physical team on defense?
They're more physical than the Philadelphia Eagles.
See, this is where I get frustrated.
It's the truth, though.
Chris Baker, directly after the game, in the interview, described.
I got it.
When he was walking on the field.
Oh no, I got that.
No, as he's walking on the field, I'll say his name. Doc Walker ran right up to him,
mm-hmm.
and he said, "We wanted to show that we are a dominant defense." I just feel like it's going too far. I really do. This is my problem. Big win, finally overcame adversity. Big for the coach and the quarterback. I get it, but again, it's the second win of the season. And why or how can you describe your team as dominant? You know what? I'm going to piggyback off a person I heard earlier who said, we haven't even had a great corner since Chan Bailey.
I heard about that. While corners are few and far in between.
But I mean, I totally agree with that. I was like, yes, I feel like that. So we can't.
Sean Spring wasn't bad down here, though. Real talk.
He wasn't
Sean
great Spring or dominant, though.
Yeah, he wasn't dominant. He wasn't
Richard Sherman.
I'll take it further. Overrated. You haven't had a superior pass rusher since Ken Harvey. Yes.
Bruce Smith.
No, he's a
Cowboy. No, I like Kerrigan. I really do.
I like Arakpo.
No, I mean like consistent. Kerrigan's did it for one.
I like Arakpo, man. You know, I like Arakpo. Don't do that to me. Okay. Anyway, man, Ray right.
Ray. Ken Harvey.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Maybe. There has been no dominant defensive player since Sean Taylor. Dominant.
Yes. LeVar.
LeVar
was a dominant when he was healthy. He was dominant.
But I think him and Sean Taylor were around the same time, though.
I'm talking about before Sean Taylor.
Well, LeVar. I'm saying since Sean Taylor.
No. I agree. LeVar wasn't even playing that. He wasn't at the same level when Sean Taylor was doing this.
Exactly.
No, I totally agree. Anyway, Ray mentioned Jay Gruden. He has some things to say about the Redskins play on Sunday. Here comes the presser.
Oh, Jordan Reed had a knee and left ankle, came back in the game. Then the last play down there at the end, checking him out for concussion. Kerrigan had a hip pointer, came back in the game. Garcon had a knee sprain, came back in the game. Murphy had a hip contusion, came back in.
That last drive, you talked all week and in the past about resiliency. What did you see out of your offense on that and the defense too
question. You know, we gave up last drive. Gave up a lead, had a lot of adversity in that game, and that's something that we've been trying to talk about is overcoming it. Man, we can't control the penalties. We can't control what happens in the football game. We can't control our effort and how long we can sustain our effort. And it was a group of men playing together for 60 minutes and overcoming a lot of adversity and some guys making big-time plays in big-time situations. And, you know, I'm proud of each and every one of those guys. Man, they fought their tails off to the end.
Jay, did you think your defensive pressure was much better this week? And if so, why?
It was for a little while. You know, I think we had a little spurt there, third, early fourth, where we weren't getting enough pressure. But, you know, we needed to be more consistent. Obviously, we want pressure on every play. But, you know, they did a nice job with the play actions and the runs to keep us off balance a little bit. But, you know, when it came time to rush, you know, Murphy got a nice sack. And then obviously Kerrigan got a sack. We missed a few sacks. Kerrigan usually gets. But overall, I felt good about the pass rush.
Jay, Jamison Crowder, you talked about would get more chances going forward. Obviously, you started him for Andre Roberts today. What went into that decision, and what did you see from Jamison today?
Yeah, well, we've seen that all camp. He had the injury there at the end of camp, and he's starting to emerge himself as a quality slot receiver for us and outside. And the injury set him back just a little bit, and once we felt like he was 100%, We felt like he's deserving of being where he is, and that's on the field. And he's a tough guy. He handles the running game. He's smart. Obviously, makes big catches. The game's not too big for him. You can see that.
Hey, Jay, did the refs explain some of the personal foul penalties to you?
Yeah, you know, just the way they called them. They thought that Trenton led with his head on a couple of them, but it's a tough situation for a safety or corner. Anybody tackling a ball carry is tough because you're trying to lower your pads to get down and tackle them, and if the receiver lowers his head, there's a possibility of call there. It's unfortunate, but it's a bang-bang play, and, you know, hopefully we'll get it fixed, and hopefully Trenton doesn't get fined or anything like that, because I thought they looked good on the sideline. There's really not a lot he could have done different, but we just keep preaching our pad level, our hat placement on tackling and fundamentals, and hopefully that'll happen again.
What does a guy like Pierre Garçon give you, obviously, in crunch time down the stretch, fighting for tough catches, tough yards, just his determination?
Yeah, that's what he is. He's one of the greatest competitors on this football team, and people feed off of that. And you know, those are some tough catches that he made today. And, you know, he probably didn't have the type of numbers that he wants after a game, you know, but because he's such a great competitor. But when the ball's in the air, he's going to go get it. And I'm happy for Pierre. I'm happy for Kirk. I'm happy for the whole offense, obviously making that last drive and overcoming what we overcame. You know, we got to do a better job in the second half, though. We're, you know, our third quarter offense, defense leaves a little to be desired. We have a lot of work to do coming out of the halftime. But overall, good game.
Hey, Will T, man, you the man, dude.
You're the man.
Some of the stuff Will was saying while you all were listening to the presser, Jay Groom presser, you have no idea. You think you know, you have no idea.
I just speak the truth.
Speaking to the mic so they can hear you, though.
I think I just say some things that I think people are afraid to say. I state the obvious.
You state stuff.
The obvious.
You state your opinions, your true opinions. I believe that, man. I appreciate
which is
that.
Obvious. Obviously, the truth.
Oh, the laugh. I missed that laugh.
Hey, go ahead. You know, try to hide that laugh, man. Go ahead, man. I love it. I hate that laugh. Yeah, I'm trying to. I'm like this.
Said something right. That means you said something.
Oh good. My God, man. You are the worst, man. But anyway, Jay Grew was. You all talked about a defense not being, you know, dominant, whatever. I'm going to skip up. I'm going to skip the defense on the outline anyway. The front four was good, though. Getting pressure on Sam Bradford all day,
no,
especially down the stretch.
They played a good game.
They played a good game, but let's not kid ourselves. The Eagles' offensive line this year isn't the offensive line that Chip Kelly had the previous 2 years. It's not as good. You know, he got rid of Evan Mathis, who a lot of people will agree coming out of last year was one of the top two or three guards in the NFL. And then he also got let go of Todd Hermans, who was getting older, 32, but his skill set translated well into what Chip Kelly wanted to do.
Now, go ahead, Will. Something happened. No, Chip, you're good. You're fine. That's me. Baker had two sacks. He had a good game. Culver looked horrible, obviously, in the secondary.
Well, they said that he was injured.
Yeah, he was
hurt,
though.
I think that's him playing showed a mentality shift that Scott McLuhan's trying to build in that building, a tougher, because everyone comes out and says, we want to be tougher, blah, blah, blah. But Chris Culver coming out and playing shows that it wasn't just lip service. It's actually something, a cultural change that's a shift in the dichotomy there.
All right. Well, I'm actually have a bite of Chris Baker talking about the defensive line and how good he felt they played. Did it look like it was easy to push him around without the two tackles being there?
I don't know if it was any easier to, you know, push him around, but, you know, we just played well as a defense and rallied up and made the plays we were supposed to make. You know, coach always preaches to make the play that you're responsible for making, and guys stepped up and made those plays today.
I see y'all didn't blitz that much. It was just y'all front, forward just getting through.
That's what we take pride in. We don't want the coach calling a whole bunch of blitzes. We just want to go out there and rush and get after the quarterback. And you know, we're very effective at that today, so hopefully we can continue to do this each and every week.
There you go. So you actually had Baker stating that, you know, they weren't trying to blitz. And that's a lot of Redskins fans want this team to blitz. But it's cool to see that this team, you know, we watched them with Greg Williams in the past. We watched them even with Hazlitt, blitz all the time, go zero, basically zero coverage. But with this team against the Eagles, they barely dialed blitz. That front four was pretty much putting the pressure without sending an extra man.
Do you think that's sustainable, though?
That's a good question. Well, depending on who you play, you know what? I guess like what a team like the Dallas Cowboys.
No, because I didn't state the question kind of how I wanted to.
Okay.
Do you think that style of play where you don't blitz and don't create turnovers can lead to this team being successful during down the run? Because we all know that the more possessions you have, the better you have to, you better you are off offensively.
I can answer that. No. And which is why somebody like Eli, who gets rid of the ball so fast.
Yeah, issues with that.
Yeah. You can't. You can't have sustained success like
that. Well, they had, like, again, against the Giants, they didn't play terrible defensively. You just had bad situations, things happen. Like, for instance, the safety, the turnover with Kirk Cousins, that early turnover. So you put the defense in the hole anyway. So I don't look at that as a bad, showing for them defensively. Now, granted, don't get me wrong, the two bombs on two bombs on Breland was an issue. Now, those are two big plays, but Breland was around for both of those two plays. Beckham made a great catch, going back, snatching the ball right before Breland had an opportunity to pretty much put his hands on it. And then you saw the Randall play. He just missed time to jump. So I don't really – the defense has been very consistent in what they're doing. Now, I agree that they're not causing turnovers. I do agree with that. Like, but they had a turnover against the Eagles game. They did get a turnover, though. It's very fluke. St. Louis, they had a turnover, but not getting the turnovers that they want, though. They're not getting the ones they want. The consistent,
not forcing.
Forcing, exactly. Not like the fluke Philly ones. Did. Yeah, exactly. Like Philly did with Jordan Reed. Yeah. Exactly. You want a turnover that you really. That you pretty much generated yourself, either by stripping the ball, interception, having that break on the ball with like what Amukamara did against Kirk Cousins in New York. Plays like that.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Say it for me.
Plays like that.
When does their film study come out on mm-hmm. the field that they know what's coming? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see how that works this week against Atlanta. I do feel like there is somewhat of an advantage for them knowing Shanahan's offense.
It's a different offense, though. It's the offense, but it's a different offense.
It's similar run
scheme. It's not like it's
very similar run scheme.
Run scheme, yes.
That's what I'm.
Definitely.
Even though Devontae Freeman is playing at a high level, right?
Yeah, it definitely. We'll talk about that too. Anyway. We'll get to that. Kirk Cousins, obviously this guy it's been a divisive town between Kirk Cousins and RG3. But you can't deny it. The man, he won this game. Regardless of what you think, dink and dunk, whatever people want to come out there, all Redskin fans want to say, whatever, if you're pro RG3, but do you feel like this was his moment? Was that game his defining moment or his, or a game or just a game that he could just build on?
Go ahead, Ray.
Yes and no. It's a game he can build on, but was it his defining moment? No, because he's got to win on the road. Go ahead, Will.
I think for him, first of all, a win, just getting a win and building off of that is essential because he doesn't have a lot of wins as a starter. Two, I think what you want to see, you hope that this is just another game that you see development. You see that maybe this is the game where he starts to feel confident in this and he takes the personality of this is my team now since he led them on a game-winning drive against a division rival. But like Ray said, you'd want to see this on the road, because that's where he's really been lacking and hasn't been able to get wins on the road. So
that's where my blog comes in, because he's never been good on the road. You go back to Michigan State, he was not a great road quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was expected that he would struggle. I just feel like all that he's had to overcome, what do you have to lose? Just go out there and play. And to me, he didn't play. I know he didn't play well necessarily in a Giant game, and people were saying, why is he leaning back on his throws? It's a phantom rush. He had time to throw the ball. But to me, he wasn't horrible against the Giants either, like he has been in the past. I feel like he's played much better. I feel like he's overcome a lot on and off the field. I feel like it's time for the fan base to rally behind him. RG3 is not the guy, from what I've heard, even if Kirk Cousins doesn't work out, Colt McCoy is going to be the backup. So rally behind him. whether he has fan support or not, I don't think it matters. Again, he's overcome a lot. And he has the support of his coaching staff, which makes all the difference versus last year. He didn't, because to be honest, Jay Gruden is still learning. He's still trying to figure this thing out as well. And that plays a factor into how Cousins plays. And we're seeing a difference. We're seeing a more confident quarterback. He played in preseason to win the job. Now he's got it. He's got all the support he needs. And his teammates. Did you hear that quote after the game? We like Robert, but Kurt is showing that he was the guy for the job.
Who said that one? Was that Baker?
Yep.
I think it was Baker who said that. Who quoted
that? That tells it all.
Yeah. On Twitter, Matt, on Twitter, the Superman 25 said, "Well, in terms of it, was this his defining moment?" Said, "We'll know at the end of the season. Before my money, his play at the end of the Baltimore Ravens Redskins game in 2012 was his defining moment when he came in for RG3 for Nada. What do you think?"
I don't think he's had a defining moment yet. That just goes to show you where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
All right. So at Stephen Hodge 324 said, "Honestly, no. I do believe it's a moment to build off of. It'll come with patience."
I agree.
You heard that one?
I agree.
I don't think. I mean, I feel like to me it's a defining moment because as a starter, you know, I mean, I'm going off the current. As a starter, you've done what people didn't expect you to do. You just had a bad game against the Giants. Everybody expected you everything to snowball from that point. The Eagles were coming to town. They just beat a good Jets team, and you know their front seven is a decent front seven. And a lot of people thought, you know what, this is a game Kirk Cousins would fail, and he came, you know, and he didn't do that. He didn't turn the ball over. He didn't have that. To me, he didn't have that close interception. He usually has that close interception. He was actually sharp throughout the game. Now, again, Jay Gruden does Kirk Cousins a big advantage by just leaning on the running game. Even on that last drive, he didn't put all the pressure on Kirk Cousins to come up with, you know, big plays in that last drive. He ran Alfred Morris. He made sure that he utilized somebody he didn't utilize in the weeks past. So he pretty much took the pressure off Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins made passes and made great accurate passes to Crowder, to Grant. Even, you know, plays to Ross, who we have an audio clip of from that deep bomb he caught. So to me, when you look at how you played in that game, yeah, to me, it's a defining moment defining moment presently.
I just feel like that's too big of a term. But my takeaway, my biggest takeaway, I'll say, for me was, what can this offense be once DeSean Jackson comes back? I just like what I saw against a division opponent, and the division isn't great. We know that. So DeSean Jackson, a healthy DeSean Jackson in the mix with a good running and a solid running game, Pierre Garçon playing at a high level, Jordan Reed playing well, it could be scary.
Concussion.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying. I'm thinking long term because 9-7 might win this division, and that is attainable for Washington this season.
I don't know. It's just, to me, the blessing with DeSean Jackson being hurt is that you get to utilize Pierre Garçon like the Redskins utilized him in 2012. So he's getting an opportunity. When you have the problem is when you have a player like DeSean Jackson, this team wants to utilize, you know, because obviously his deep play ability is so dynamic that you want to take advantage of any time he's on the field. But at the same time, you forget how talented a Pierre Garçon is. You know, that's what you heard talk last season. And for some folks thought they can just get rid of him. Now you see the value of having a Pierre Garçon, because now you're running more plays for him. So I'm with you in this regard, that once you get DeSean Jackson back, you know you can do certain things with Pierre Garçon, but you know that D-Jax can do that one thing well, and he, you know, go up vertical and give you big explosive plays. I'm just interested to see how Jay Gruden mixes that all together.
That's what it all comes down to, and I'll get there.
You know what I mean? So anyway, do you think that game pretty much closed the casket or closed the coffin on RG3's career in DC?
No, I don't think. I don't think so. Just because the owner still favors him, for one, and two, you got wishy-washy fans. You know, if Kirk goes out here and starts to stink it up three games in a row, RG's name will be hot on every fan's lips to come back and be the quarterback, get up under center.
Well, see, that's my thing too. And it's not just Redskin fans. Mm-hmm. I remember I used to come on the show and say, man, Redskin fans are this, Redskin fans are that. But this is everywhere. You go right up the street to Baltimore, they're ready to get rid of Flacco.
All the time. Week. Like, just like, yeah.
And this man won a Super Bowl, and he's made some big throws, and he plays well. It sometimes it has sometimes them losing has nothing to do
you
with
you think
Flacco.
Atlanta fans do it to Matt Ryan?
No.
You sure?
No.
I think so.
No.
I think so.
I listen. I'm not going to say the station, but I listen. I mean, that's the only way I can keep up with the Falcons from here. The only time Matt Ryan gets criticized by local fans and the national media is in those games at the end, like the 49ers playoff game, when he cannot find the man in the end zone. Versus if you watch that particular game, he found Julio Jones easily. And that's when you have Tony Gonzalez, a younger, healthy Roddy White, and Julio Jones all in the field at the same time, and you cannot get in the end zone. That's unacceptable. And then he followed up the following season in New Orleans, first game of the season, same thing. Could not get the touchdown, although that was a great throw he made to Roddy White. It was just a good defensive play by New Orleans. So that's the only time Matt Ryan gets criticized. Matt Ryan barely gets sacked, and he's had horrible offensive lines for the past two seasons. So, no, he doesn't get that. Peyton Manning is getting that right now for whatever reason on a national level. But my point is it's not just Redskins fans. Everybody's like that going from 0 to 100 and 100 to 0. In New York, right after the New York game, mm-hmm. everybody I heard on radio was ready to, again, bring RG3 off the bench or say Cousins is not the answer. But then after this game, we're right back to euphoria all over again. Cooley is somebody to me who is very consistent, who I listen to locally. Mm. And
Cooley. Took a picture with him, too.
You did?
At the game, yeah.
Yeah, good, because you supported him.
Yeah, you know I did.
You almost came to blows for him on here. So you should have told him that. But I feel like he's been very consistent.
You're right.
He's not Joe Theismann, who's just a straight homer. He's consistent with his feedback on the team because he's been around a lot of these guys, and he's been in that environment recently. So he understands what's going on. He understands the game. I like his feedback. And he's been supportive of Kirk Cousins. He's saying, why can't we celebrate a win? And I agree with that. I just feel like it's only two wins, though, because we're one game away from everybody hating Kirk Cousins and Jay Gruden all over again.
Like I said,
nobody's buying in.
Like fully. I said last week on the show, and I think me and you both agree, Wally, this town has been kind of without quality quarterback play for so long.
Since 2012.
Yeah, so when you do see a guy who's making some subtle strides, I think people go overboard.
You have to in that situation.
Dude, it goes from game one. Like, me and Will, we talked about this, and I'm sure you'll agree with this too, right? Dog, like, when the game against the Dolphins, that was a bad – he threw two interceptions. Everybody graded him out like it was a B+. Dude, one touchdown and two picks will never be a B.
Yeah, if we're honestly grading no one's ever saying that's
this
a B.
They grade him on a curve. That's not a B ever in life. Like he's like Will said, like this town has been starving for quality quarterback play that because he may throw for 250, that's like that's A+ work. You know what I mean?
I'm going to disagree there. Just because a lot of the fans and media were focusing on the special teams losing that game, less about Kirk Cousins, which is why I feel like he did.
I guess Miami.
Pass. He got a pass, yeah, in my opinion. But
let's honestly assess his play.
Yeah, I mean, just like
no, you guys his, don't. Y'all are biased.
I'm not. Oh well, I may be biased, but Will ain't biased. I may be a little biased at times.
Okay, my bad. Well, I should have been more specific.
Yeah.
It's just like the Jameis Winston discussion. I'm not going to go there right now, but it's clear who we like. We like Mariota. We like Winston over Mariota. So he's not going to get it. Mariota's not going to get a fair shake. Kirk Cousins in your eyes, Wally, will not get a fair shake.
No, he has. I've been nice to him. I've been nice about Kirk Cousins.
We talked yesterday on the phone, and the first thing you said was, "You listen to the radio. What are they saying about Kirk Cousins?"
When was the other day? That wasn't this. It wasn't yesterday.
It was.
What did I say about Kirk Cousins? I didn't say that.
You asked me, what are the fans saying about Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, because I wanted to make sure. I wanted to know for my show.
I said, it's you for it. You said, see, that's what I'm talking about, man. Oh, off of one game.
That wasn't yesterday's game.
That was yesterday because I called you about the whole blog. And then
that was yesterday. That was yesterday. That does sound like
I haven't talked to you on the phone since.
Like, yeah.
You left me a message. But other than that, yeah.
Yeah, it's right. You know what? See, Ray always called things out, man. I hate this dude sometimes.
No, I'm just being honest. I don't know from your vantage point if he can get a fair
assessment. He's been, look, I honestly think that you know, Redskins fans should not badmouth Kirk Cousins, because at this point in time, he's shown to be the starting quarterback. He's 2-2. So for any, I'm a fan of the Redskins before any quarterback. So to me, as long as he does his job, I'm fine.
Well, here's the problem.
He plays bad.
People are comparing him to stars in this league. We can't win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins is the overwhelming sentiment. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, nobody's ever going to be fully happy. Like, for example, I'm an Atlanta fan. I believe that Matt Ryan can win a Super Bowl depending on, you know, the matchups, where we play, whatever. I believe he can lead the Falcons to a Super Bowl. That's the point. But nobody believes that Kirk Cousins can lead the race because he's not the long-term solution, basically.
All right, so I'm going to play some sound bites of some of the, you know, some of the players of the game who experienced the game and when I talked about the game. Ross, Trent Williams. I don't feel like going like segment to segment. I'm just going to play all of them. All right, this is going to be Trent Williams, and you'll hear the rest of them. All right.
What's up? Sean's a great player, man. He anytime a good player like that goes down, he's going to be missed. You know, but we had a Spence, young guy, come in, step up, man, and, you know, we didn't really miss a beat. You know, and that's the name of this league, man. It's the next up, next guy up type of league. And, you know, fortunately, our next guy that was up was Spence, and he has a lot of talent. You know, he's a guy that has all the tools in his toolbox to compete at a high level. And I think we got that out of him today. Well, my goal is to always get better every year, you know, and especially when I'm in the prime of my career, you know, in my 20s, my job is to get better. I owe that to my teammates, I owe that to myself. So, you know, each offseason, each year, that's my sole focus. If it's getting stronger, if it's cleaning up my technique, you know, whatever it is, I'm committed to doing that. And, you know, I'm a firm believer of hard work paying off, and maybe it's paying off for me. Who knows, you know, but I got to continue to put the same type of focus in every game and, you know, play them to the best of my ability and the way I know I can.
I'm Peyton, man.
So how did you get your first sack?
I felt good. You know, it's, I missed a couple layups there, but, you know, we were able to, you know, close it out in the end. So, you got to finish those plays, got to take better angles to the quarterback, got to come to balance a little better.
All right, great. Thanks, appreciate it.
Did it look like it was easy?
First of all, big play. How did that big play come around, that big bomb? How did that come about?
We was practicing all week, and I knew I had a chance that play. So when he finally called a play, I just made the best of my opportunities, mm-hmm. and he threw me the ball.
So did you like the chances? Now you get more snaps, you get more involved.
Well, hopefully, mm-hmm. I like my chances because mm-hmm. I work hard, but hopefully I get more.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. In terms of like that last kickoff return, when you hesitated, what happened?
Man, see what happened? See, they've been kicking it out the end zone, uh-huh. and I really wanted a return, but the wind was blowing the opposite way this time. But it looked like it was gonna go out the end zone, so I already had called my return off. Mm-hmm. But then when I caught it, I was like 1 yard. Now the goal line, I hesitated, and when I hesitated, I was just like, man, forget it. I'm just going to take it. So I took it. I mean, I got to the 19.
All right, you back. What? Huh? We back, dude. We back, Ray Jeezy.
I'm sorry. I just had to finish off. I had a little bit of cookie. Cookies over here.
You ain't that sound right. Cookie. I had that cookie.
I mean, cookies. Chocolate chip cookies over there, so, you know. I mean,
but, hey, that was my man.
To eat them while we on the mic.
I feel you. That's my man, Ross, man. Rashad Ross, man. Cool dude. Was talking about how he caught that 19, that deep bomb. If Kirk Cousins had let him, would have been a touchdown. But I always feel like you got to be safe. If you can't, you know, if you ain't Peyton Manning or whatnot, make sure you better off underthrowing it than overthrowing it. And actually, we were having a nice little joke about how in that key situation, on that last kickoff before when they scored, is how he hesitated. He hesitated taking the ball out of the end zone like he was going to take a kneel down rather than run it out. And he was going to take a kneel down, but he just ran it out. So he thought he waived the coverage. the special teams for Neil Down didn't work out the way that he wanted to work out. What's going on? John Wall scored?
The Wizards is dominating. I mean, and they have swagger. I love it. But it's the Sixers.
Anyway. It's the Sixers, dude. It's the Sixers, though. But your thoughts of I want to say Breland. Y'all pay attention to Breland? I mean, I know you ain't Redskins fans. I did.
No, I'm paying a lot of attention to him.
I still think he has potential, to be honest.
This is what I wanted to ask Coach Gruden. I wanted to ask him, like, what did he think of Breland, how he stepped up? Obviously, being playing on Thursday night, getting
toasted.
Yes, abused by both wide receivers for the New York Giants, and then he just came back and stepped his game up, and he really, for a cornerback, if you're not talking about him in the game, that means you're playing well. That means you're doing your job.
Absolutely.
And so the only person that we saw, you know, we saw a lot of was Chris Culver.
Hey.
Chris Culver.
He got Julio this week.
That's the thing. Yeah, he got Julio.
He has stepped up in big moments in the past. So I'm hoping that it'll be a competitive matchup. But Julio is the truth, though. Julio is right now the best receiver in the
NFL. Yeah, hands down.
Julio is the best offensive player. This he's been the best offensive player. That's true. So get far there.
It gets me so excited because people are finally acknowledging that Calvin is done.
He ain't done, though.
Megatron is not Megatron no more.
No, because he's playing with Matthew Stafford, who's not good. Like, Matthew Stafford is annoying me, right? He's annoying my fantasy football.
We're not even going to go there. But
he's annoying me in fantasy football, too.
I do like A.J. Green, and he is stepping it up.
A.J. Green's a beast.
A.J. Green is right there. It's hard to –
those two are like –
we agreed that A.J. Green was the best receiver before the start. Since Julio came out the gates just blazing, we were like, nah.
Julio is the best wide receiver right now. I always said AJ was like two, because I always said Calvin won. Everybody else is under Calvin. But well, now
Calvin's going through the phase that Andre Johnson's gone through, that Reggie Wayne's going through.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all tripping. Y'all not even mentioning Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah, he's a beast.
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 But he's not Julio right now.
Yeah, he's not Julio.
Not right now.
He's not AJ Green either right now. But he's still a beast, though. You know what? What I learned about how Pittsburgh utilizes him, though. Antonio Brown is vicious.
He's so explosive.
He's explosive. You but they find so many ways to use him, though.
Go
ahead. Go. You good?
No. Go ahead.
No. They find like they'll put him anywhere in the backfield, whatever. Like so, it's like hard to even put a body on him. Like seriously, because you could get a linebacker on him by accident.
Well, that's what if you notice what Kyle Shanahan is doing with Julio Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they played against
Dallas.
Against Dallas, putting him in the slot,
yep,
moving him to the X to the Y, putting him in the slot, you know, send him in motion, everything. So, you know, that just goes to show his versatility. Like I said, the level of play he's playing at now, he's definitely the best offensive. He's been the best offensive player this season, even though we're just a quarter of the way through.
The most underrated receiver to me right now is Jeremy Maclin, because he's
on a fry now. He is starting to really fry.
He is balling on a team that doesn't use their receivers or somehow struggles to use their receivers.
So true.
And he is balling. I mean, right now they're not winning, so I'm sure that
they'll win. The schedule's been tough for them, though. It's been real tough.
And they play well.
Yeah.
Alex Smith is a good quarterback. I still like him.
Yeah, I like Alex Smith.
Solid quarterback.
He's a solid quarterback.
Now, if you define Alex Smith as solid, what do you define Kirk Cousins as? Because
he's not Alex Smith.
Below solid.
He's below solid. Yeah, he's below solid. He's not Kirk. He's not Alex
Smith. Bias radio.
No, it's the truth though. He's not. Alex Smith is accomplished stuff.
Yes.
Kirk Cousins
Alex
is then
Smith
what?
Is accomplished. Even though
he'll turn the ball over.
Turning the ball over this year.
Because he's trying. Because now he's trying to like let that thing ride.
ESPN does not like Alex Smith though. I'm telling you. Did you see the graphic they put up of his numbers next to Aaron Rodgers and how Aaron Rodgers?
They so
and,
dirty.
And they show they Aaron Rodgers crying basically on draft day when Alex Smith went first.
He has one more ring than Alex Smith. That's all I know.
No, come on now. You can't hate Aaron Rodgers.
He has one more ring.
Awesome. Secondly,
no, it's not. It's not spelled the same way.
Does that matter?
It does matter. So it's his last name.
Johnson is Johnson. Thomas is Thomas.
Look, it's Rodgers with a D.
Wow.
You're Rodgers with
no
D. The D is silent.
I like how you did that. you cannot deny that Aaron Rodgers is.
Look, I don't have to. Aaron Rodgers was one fluke play away from being a Super Bowl champion last season.
Look. Or going to the Super Bowl. Oh, come on now. When we talk about the Ravens versus Broncos, the year the Ravens won, we know that was fluke. You agree. But now,
because
you don't like Aaron Rodgers.
No, look. I have to support my argument.
Anyway, where are we?
No, we're going to Atlanta game. Rev taking too long. We're supposed to have my man Rev call in, but he's taking too long. Redskins versus Falcons. Preview the game. without giving any predictions, we're going to do our predictions at the, like towards the end.
I think we're really going to see how physical this defense is.
What I was waiting for.
We know that Shanahan offensive line has a lot of people. being finessed, but still being able to effectively run. So we're going to see just how physical this Washington defensive line is. Can they stop the run?
Go ahead.
Okay,
let me get some clarity here. What are we talking about? Overall, the game, or are we speaking specifically about the Redskins right now?
About the Redskins. No, you can preview the game any which way you want to do it. If it's talk
just
radio.
Just give an example.
Without giving out the, you know, the.
Okay, I won't give a prediction. I'll start.
We know you're gonna pick.
I'll start with the Redskins though. I believe again that this is an opportunity for Kirk Cousins to overcome some adversity. Can you win on the road? And the Falcons, remember, are a team that's evolving, that's getting better, that's learning a new system. The Falcons aren't there yet, which is why they had to come back from and each game up until the Houston game. And Houston, that was just Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan Mallett's your quarterback.
That's my guy. On. I like Ryan
Mallett. In college, yes. But I like Drew Brees in college. Don't like him now. The point being, though, is this is the time for Kirk Cousins to prove he can win the role. However, in order for him to do that, the coach has to make the right calls. The coach has to put him in a position to win. And it's more so about Jay Gruden. Are you going to, as he said in the press conference, take the reins off of Kirk? That's the biggest thing for the Redskins I want to see. The defense is what it is. They're not great. They're not dominant. They do play hard, though, and they've been solid through, I want to say, three quarters of the season, because the Giants game, I don't care what nobody says, they didn't play well. In the second half, everybody's pointing that out. They did not play well, although it wasn't bad. But can they put together four quarters? As far as my Atlanta Falcons go, though, I'm a little bit upset right now with Roddy White. If you haven't heard, Jason Lockenfor is reporting that the Ravens and the Cowboys are interested in acquiring Roddy White. Roddy White has made it clear that he's not happy in his role in Kyle Shanahan's offense. To quote him, he said, "For me, at the end of the day, I want to catch passes. I'm not out here just effing around, just to sit around, just to block effing people all day. It's not what I want to do. I've contributed to offenses for this franchise for the last 9-10 years. It always bothers me when I go out and don't catch any balls in a game, because it hasn't happened in so long." Okay, who did I mention earlier? Andre Johnson. Is he better than Roddy White? Sure he is. Reggie Wayne, is he better? Eventually, you're not going to be the guy anymore. Clearly, you're not the guy anymore. You want to win a ring, like you've been saying on Hard Knocks. That's all you kept saying, is I want a ring so bad. I'll trade places with OTU Umiura. Well, do your job. You're almost finished. We've seen that. Your body's been breaking down. The reason why you're not hurt is because you're not as involved. So, you know, either get in or get out. Hankerson is playing well right now. The Falcons can win without Roddy White, clearly. Go ahead. Throw some blocks. Anybody can throw some blocks. And if you notice, the players who have adjusted to the system, such as Ricardo Allen, who – did you see Hard Knocks? When he got reprimanded for saying, "I got the first big hit," and then went to the practice squad. Now he's starting. I know he didn't play last game, but still. If you're going to buy into the system, buy in. Don't say 1 minute, "I'm going to do what I want to. I want to do what I can so we can win the Super Bowl," and then complain. You know what? I wouldn't mind seeing him go to the Cowboys. Deuces. Again, I'm loyal to players, but – he reminds me of Keith Brookin. You're expendable. You're not somebody who – you're not Ray Lewis. You're not Joe Montana, a legend. You're Roddy White, who used to drop passes off his chest. That made Michael Vick look bad before a dogfight. But I don't get me wrong. I like Roddy White. I just don't like what he's doing right now. I feel like he's hurting continuity right now amongst the team. My concern from the Atlanta standpoint is Justin Durant not playing. So we got Bartu starting this week. That's not good. Even though we're going up against Kirk freaking Cousins, I'm still concerned. I don't like that. Durant has been the best player on defense thus far, and I don't know when he can come back, which concerns me a bit, even though our schedule is favorable starting with this week. This reminds me of a couple years ago when RG3 was a rookie and Atlanta was 4-0 coming into D.C., and I text Wally 5-0. All Wally said was, "That's what's up." Because, you know, Redskins fans, they are very nervous when it comes to talking trash. I'm comfortable with saying my team is going to win or lose. I do think the Redskins have a chance this weekend. But Kevin Sheehan, he's an idiot. Because
Who's Kevin Sheehan for people who don't know?
I'm sorry. I need to stop referencing. I'm going on a tangent. We all referenced him.
Didn't we reference the dude anyway on the show?
We probably did.
No, we did not.
Oh, it was
I won't go any further. My last point though from the Atlanta end is, you go with the hot hand, and that is Devontae Freeman.
Tevin Coleman is practicing, starting tomorrow,
and based on what I've seen. I've heard that, you know, once you come back from an injury with Dan Quinn's regime, you reassume your starting
position. Hello? Rev?
It's
Rev,
man.
Hey, Rev, you on? You on with the Urban Sports scene? What's good? We're waiting on you, man. Waiting for the hype.
What's going on, bro? How y'all doing, man?
We good, bro. We good. I know as a Redskin fan, I need that Redskin hype for Atlanta. We playing Atlanta. I need that hype talk.
Well, you know, we got to go down there. See, we just finished taking care of some. They call them the upper room North Dirty Birds. See, the Ravens is the mid North Dirty Birds, and then the Philadelphia, they the upper room Dirty Birds. And now we got to go down to the Dirty South. I'm talking about down, baby, down. You know, when we got to go, then let it go. You know what I'm saying? We got to turn it up. And we got to turn it down, and we got to keep Matty Ice on the ground with our defense. Kirk Cousins got to find a way to keep Alfred and Matt Jones running the ball their way. You understand? See, that comes from running that play action. If they run that play action, then you get satisfaction. So when we go to Atlanta, you got to understand when they try to put their hands up and start flapping their little dirty bird wings, they got to understand it's a team that wear burgundy gold that came from Washington, D.C.
Preach.
That's going to shut them up. Mm-hmm. That's going to shut them down. And in the final minutes, in the final rounds, it's a whole lot of people that's going to be standing up with all their burgundy gold power, telling them dirty birds, fly away, come back again another day. But one thing you know for sure, you didn't beat the Washington Redskins today. And that's how I feel, baby, you know?
Alright, my man Rev. Hey Rev, real quick, what do you think the key for Redskins victory?
The keys for the Redskins victory, they had to run the ball with Alpha Moore. Alpha Moore's need to go out there and run the ball. Alfred needs at least 17 touches in the game and for the Redskins. 17 to 18 touches by Alpha Morris will guarantee us a win. People concerned about Jordan Reed being hurt. I'm not, because those two tight ends that we picked up, they can catch the ball. Currier can catch the ball. It's not too hard for a tight end to catch the ball. As long as they can help block and win that offensive line, because you know Atlanta, they're aggressive. They're aggressive. And this the kicker right here on the urban sports scene with my man Wally, his Will, and my man Ray. Listen here. This the kicker right here. Kyle Shanahan. If they can contain that Shanahan offense, because you know he wants to exploit the Redskins for what they worth to him, to prove to something to the Washington Redskins about his offense. So if you ever thought that you saw Kyle Shanahan offense before, oh no. Sunday, you really gonna see the octane to that thing. So that's gonna be the key to the game. Can our defense hold Kyle Shanahan, because he's gonna bring everything out? And two, can our offense get that run game going? It doesn't have to be pretty. See, everybody wants you to run the ball and get 6-7 yards of carry. You can't do that when you playing football. That's from Pop Warner. That's from high school. That's to the collegiate level, all the way up to the NFL. You have to be able to run the ball. And running the ball means you might get 1 yard one time. The next time, you might get 3 yards. But eventually, guess what? That defense is going to get tired of getting banged up on. And that hole is going wide open. And if you know, like I know, I got 6 babies, this is it. I'm jumping that hole with that hole wide open. You understand on the Urban Sports scene? So this is it. I love y'all so much. I didn't eat no Popeye's chicken today.
Oh, good God. I know what you're talking about, man.
And listen here, man. I'm going to tell y'all what's good and true right here on the Urban Sports scene. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock sharp, on WBAD Sports Radio, we're going to have the Rev T Sports Revival. And you can call in and you can talk about sports. You can talk about your team. And if you lift it and your spirit is down and you driven, guess what? I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to talk sports. And then listen here. I'm going to tell you become a Redskins fan. You see how that works?
I love it. I love it. I'm going to call in. You know what? I'm going to get some folks from here and get folks over there at sports, Fox Sports Radio too.
Support and listen.
Definitely.
Oh, man. Hey, listen here, man. You always welcome. You got a home at Rev T Sports Revival. And I love y'all, brother, so much. And we going to work together. And y'all keep doing good things. And I'm going to do good things. And guess what, though? We going to make freedom ring. You, yeah, hey, listen here. In the great words of Dr. King, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. I love y'all on the urban sports scene.
Love you too.
Y'all be blessed. God bless y'all, man.
God bless you, Rev.
God bless y'all. Good night, man.
Good night, man. Thanks, bro. Oh, man. My man Rev, man. Always represent, man. I love that dude, man. He's just, he always looks out, man. Appreciate it.
I just want to tell him it's not some average birds. You're going against Julio Jones, Vic Beasley. They're not some average birds, man.
Hey, I mean, Julio Jones ain't. That's a whole different beast, man. Julio Jones is a different beast.
That's what I think the Redskins lack, especially with DeSean Jackson out. Is nobody that really scares you on the Redskins? Although, you know,
Terrence Ross. I mean, watch out for Rashad Ross, man. You heard it here. I told you about Hankerson. Watch out for Rashad Ross. I told you about Hankerson when you asked me. You're like, what would Hankerson do? I said, with Matt Ryan, he can do some special things. He's having last week. He had 100 yards, right?
Over 100 yards.
Over 100 yards. I'm telling you. So watch out. How's Atlanta secondary? You know better than I. How? I mean, that defense. I feel like there are things on the defense you can't do against them.
Yeah. Well, it's not about the players in the secondary. I do like our personnel. It's the scheme. They play a lot of man, so they can be beat deep. Like for example, the scheme would have had to been different against like a Dez Bryant. But if the Falcons get pressure, and that's a big if. The Falcons do not always get pressure. Do not always get sacks. If they get pressure, then it's going to be a long day for Cousins. All right, because cool. of the press coverage that is being played. It's similar to what Seattle did the last two seasons. So we'll see. I'm not necessarily confident, but if you're Gruden, I think you need to take some shots. You got to keep the Falcons honest, and it can work. They can hit some bombs. Kirk Cousins, I like his deep ball, but then again, to me, it's a little weak, not a real
deep ball. It's not accurate. It's not weak. It's just he's better.
No, I think it's accurate. It's, I just don't think he's strong. He throws
like, all right, because these guys have been open. Put it this way, they're open. He just throws it short.
That's what I'm saying.
Because you don't want to.
Yeah. It's not bad.
I feel like it's safe. He just throws a safe pass. He doesn't want to overthrow them, so he just throws it short. It's not like, for instance, like when Matt Ryan throws a bomb like that pass to Julio Jones. On the sideline when he made that, you know, that he lunged for it.
Against Dallas?
Yeah, against Dallas. Uh-huh. The Giants. Not that one, the Giants.
Against the Giants?
The last one. It's never like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be short, so he can't run with, you know what I mean?
Well, he doesn't have as much velocity on his ball. To me, looking at Sam Bradford's deep ball this past week.
Oh, that was on the money.
He dropped it right.
Right. That's the difference.
So I don't think it's as accurate, but I think it's still accurate though. If you get what I'm saying? There's different degrees of accuracy.
Well, it's not pinpoint accuracy. I guess that's okay, the point. There you go. It's not pinpoint accuracy. There we go. You know what I mean? But again, I don't like to me. All right. So you mentioned, I'm with real quick before we go to break. You mentioned Kirk Cousins having, you know, you want to see him win a game on the road.
I do.
Like, is this the type of game that if he wins? No. Oh. Now he can. You know, if he does win this kind of game, does that change your opinion about him?
Me? My opinion?
Yeah.
I think, to be honest with you, again, based on what I've seen, I believe that he's overcome a lot. I believe he's mentally tougher now. I really do.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'm just wondering, you know, can you overcome adversity? The Georgia don't can – it can be Seattle, but then it can also be Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Because fans are not as passionate. They're passionate about a winner anywhere. But – you know, here's the thing. This is the biggest thing for me. If he's given a final drive, can he win it in Atlanta? And here's why I say that. Atlanta with Matt Ryan, I'm just being real. It's confidence in my guy. The Falcons are never out the game. If the Falcons get the ball with 2 minutes left, they're probably going to win at home against the Redskins. If the Redskins get the ball with 2 minutes left, can the coaches step up and put Cousins in the right position.
All right, well, it's time for a commercial break. When we get back from break, we'll talk about the Monday night debacle with the Seattle Seahawks cheating, getting another one, basically getting another cheap victory. I was about to say something else. And also, we'll talk about the Ravens. You know, did they save their Stevenson season against the Steelers? And also our picks for week five, right? Week five of the NFL. All right, it's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always have to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Michelle, fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpiece.
All right, we're back from break. Y'all didn't just heard me say, we're back from break. All right, it's time to talk about the NFL, the Monday Night Football game. The Lions lost to the Seahawks 10-13. Calvin Johnson messed up my fantasy football team. Like, nobody's business. All he had to do was hold the ball.
Perspective, is that all anyone cares about when it comes to
football? That's what I
said
that
earlier.
That's what I care about.
I've become kind of detached because I'm not really playing. Well, I'm
you playing, are playing fantasy
I'm
football.
Playing, I'm playing.
You're in a better league than I'm in.
True. I've come to a certain point in my life where I don't obsess over it.
Oh, that's good for you.
That's awesome.
That's great. That's just swell.
You're in the 1%.
I know, because I did. As soon as I saw him run towards the end zone, I was like, yes. And then I say, he fumbled? Like, really?
Yeah, like, once you kind of back away and you desensitize yourself from fantasy football, you view the game a whole different way.
So you're just like, why? You're like Gandhi?
No, I'm not Gandhi. I'm just saying you just view it. You aren't as much like, you have your team, right? Like, both of y'all have a team y'all work for, right?
You used to have a team. I used to have
a team, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes it would come to a conflict where if my team was playing another team that had like two players.
I remember.
I would kind of be conflicted like.
Oh, I didn't have a problem. I ain't bench Randy Moss. He played the Redskins that year when he was playing with Brady. I was like, I'm getting them touchdowns.
52-7.
Yep, you know it. I'm getting them touchdowns. They're gonna lose. I'm getting them points. Yeah, every touchdown Randy Moss called, like, dang, yes.
Fantasy football, it impacts your ability to enjoy Sundays. It does. Because you're so caught up in the stats, you're online, you're clicking, you're turning channels constantly, you're on the red zone. Who just scored for such and such?
I used to call Ray on the con. Ray used to have DirecTV. I was like, Ray, who just scored that touchdown?
I know.
I totally agree with what you were saying. Like, it got to a point where I would be calculating the score of a player who's playing in my mind. I'd be like, all right, so 10 yards for
you get a point for every 10 yards.
Yeah, every 10 yards. Then a touchdown. Then I'd be doing the math. And when I watch football, I just want to relax and just watch a game.
It's too late.
I don't want to be doing
them
math.
Days are over, Wilty. Them days are over, son.
Here's the thing.
They're over.
And the thing is, it's still evolving because we are old enough, I'm thankful to say, experienced enough to remember the early days of fantasy football when it wasn't up to date scoring. You had to wait till Monday morning to figure out if you won.
Now, I wish they go back to that because I'm sick of being stressed out.
So
I want to wake up and know the score. I don't want to look at it like, oh, it's already calculated. Dang, why?
So now with our cell phones, we can keep up the entire time. I mean,
I drafted on my cell phone.
It's just crazy. I remember you had a headache one time. You wouldn't even eat because you were so. You were so focusing on beating this one particular guy in our league. So I'm over that. I'm beyond that. And I don't know if you ever beat him in all this time. And now it doesn't matter. I'm telling you. And you know what else? It's giving hope to the non-athlete.
That's true.
The fourth member of this show, he was so arrogant about picking other athletes. Just being real. I mean, that was his thing. The guy that created his run, he made himself a running back on Madden. knowing he will never be a running back in his life. So
I thought it was NCAA. Was it NCAA?
Whatever.
Because he made me a tight end.
It don't matter. It don't matter. He will never be a running back in his life. Dude, knockout kings is one thing. Many people can't be boxers. But we can all step on the b-ball court or the football field and play on with a group of friends. You know what I mean? I can't. I won't box.
See, you brought up my dumb laugh, man. I despise
you. Here's the thing. My point is, fantasy football has ruined the fan experience. Even if you go to the game live, people are looking to see how their fantasy team is doing. I took my wife out on a Sunday to see a play, and this lady sitting next to me said, "Oh man, DeMarco Murray messing me up." I was like, "Wow, really?" I'm like, "Daggone, Sandra, we really getting to that point?" So. I'm just not a big fan of fantasy football.
Oh no, I totally agree with you.
The whole FanDuel thing, and then you're going to add money into it legally with FanDuel and fantasy.
Well, it's not really. See, this is the thing.
It's not legal.
This is the thing I don't get.
Illegal. It's not like, gambling.
Gambling is illegal in America, right? Outside of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But then you can go online and you can play. You can gamble.
But some sites you're not allowed to. Yeah, some of them you can't do anymore, though. I know I have
a friend
of mine who's
you have the FanDuel. Well, you have the
not FanDuel, something else, but yeah, friend of mine is canceled. Right. Now he can't gamble anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, you have the FanDuel and DraftKings, and gambling is technically illegal, but you can do it, but it's not regulated. So me personally, I'm kind of iffy if I want to put my money into something that's not regulated, and I don't. I have a concept. I understand how it works, but it's just something I'm not personally that interested or vested in doing right now. But like you said, right, fantasy football changed the way we view sports.
I love OT, man, because, I mean, we were even giving awards out in our league, and people do that. GM of the year, you know, best pickup. Come on. I mean, it's giving people hope who otherwise have nothing to do with sports. It has. Now, for former players, I believe – they're in the bracket or the percentage of people who don't care as much. They don't like it.
Chris Coolen, they love it though. Maurice Jones, Drew used to do it a lot when he was playing. He used to do it a lot. He used to be a big fan of.
I'm going off LaDainian Tomlinson, I guess, but they I guess they have to do it being that he's on TV.
Some players act like fantasy football. What is that? Come on, dude.
You know what it is. You know what it is. Like you get like a lot of the players. Well, I feel like the younger players, they play fantasy football.
Like Le'Veon Bell, he was on NFL Network. He was like, and they were interviewing him, and they were talking about someone mentioned to him how he was like, I guess after his performance against the Ravens, he was like one of the better fantasy. He was like, fantasy football, what's that? Come on, dude.
You know what it is, but don't do that. Don't. I mean, you can say I don't fool with it, but don't act like you don't know what it is.
Everyone, you know what it is. Heard of it?
Yeah,
they know the premise.
Fantasy football is the most convenient. I'll say that out of all the sports because you don't have to change your lineup once a week for the most part.
It's the best thing ever.
But basketball, you know, you're constantly.
That sucks. I hate
baseball. Basketball, you do that. No,
that's Avery Johnson. Right? Did you hear that?
What
basketball?
Fantasy basketball, you only change your roster once a month. I mean, once a week.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, it is.
It is
once a week. But you got to change it.
According to the game. Yeah,
before Monday. Monday at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, but it's got to be for the week. You got to change it.
Yeah, you got to change it based on the
game. Yeah, you got to have players for the week.
For the week setup.
Yeah,
you got
to.
Yeah, it's like.
That is complicated.
It is. It's very complicated.
In comparison to fantasy football.
Yeah, it's very complicated. You have to have it all.
Fantasy football is the most convenient thing. You roll over Sunday. You check the injury report. 11.
You listen to Adam Schefter give you that little whatever. Well, this guy's not going to. He didn't suit up. So inactive. He's inactive.
Dude, you should watch CNN today because CNN, I mean, they break it down. Fantasy football is huge. I mean,
it's a billion. It's over. It's like a $5 billion.
I'm getting the fantasy
industry.
Football.
Can you believe
like,
that?
Expert to be on the show.
You should.
I am. Yeah. I'm doing it. It's in the works right now. Anyway, let's go real quick.
I mean, you already got one expert. I'm a champion.
All right, we're going quick in the pace real quick. So.
Shout out to my man Ray for helping me out get that championship.
Is that you depressed when I changed the score that time as the commissioner? When I like, Will, you really doing? He's like, oh, man, well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He, at first, he's like, I ain't worried about this. He said, well, I did kind of have fun talking to him. He's like, hold up. He started asking questions.
Hey, let me do this, though. Let me do this shirt real quick. So. I'm trying. Hold on. Yeah.
Toby.
I remember that.
Absolutely.
All right, real quick. Did the refs really cost the Lions the game?
It's hard to say.
It's hard to say because, you know, Russell Wilson, who's to say that they really
They would score. They
would have got a field goal and put it in overtime. Yeah. At home, they would have got.
I think we all can agree they would have at least at the bare minimum gotten a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But then again, we don't know if how, you know, Russell Wilson, the way he was getting outside of the pocket and making plays, what happens when Seattle gets the ball?
True. I'll put it this way. It was Megatron's fault. Should have fumbled. Like, there's an opportunity to score a touchdown to win a game or even be down at the 1 yard line. It's your fault.
I think Cam Chancellor just made an excellent play.
Well, he made a great play.
He shows why he's and the linchpin of this team and why he should,
what Michael Bennett, go ahead.
He should be paid.
I just have a quick question.
Go ahead.
Based on what you all observed, could the Seahawks, they could have picked it up, right?
Yeah, he just did
it. Yeah, right, he just did it. So either way, the game was over. He'd have picked it up. He just made a dumb play.
What? He just played it safe. I don't know. I
he could have picked it up.
Though. I believe he could have picked it up if he wanted to.
He could have picked it up and down. I think he had the opportunity to pick it up. He just thought he could throw it out of bounds.
But still,
the referees muffed up, but still, they could have recovered.
Like, to me, the Detroit lost the game. They didn't get cheated. I mean, yeah, within the rules.
KJ Wright, he would have recovered it.
To me, that's a touchdown. You fumble, it's on you. That's how I look at it. Like, don't fumble. It was on you. So I don't really look at it like – and I don't like Seattle. But you fumbled. You messed up. Ravens. Ravens beat the Steelers Thursday. We all thought that Will and I thought the Steelers would win this game. Vic played well to me, well enough. Didn't make a key play.
It's Scobie's fault.
Yeah,
the Ravens can't build off that.
No, I thought I picked the
– No, I did the pick. You picked the Ravens. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You did pick the Ravens.
I did pick the Ravens. Come on, man. Give me my credit.
My bad, dude. Feel good about yourself? You had a good week too, man. I got the records right here. Don't worry about it.
I'm up on you by one game. I told you I would be.
All right. Go ahead. Continue, man.
No, go ahead.
Vic played well. I'm with Ray. Scobie is just he used to be a good kicker. I don't know what happened to him. He used to be good in Jacksonville. I have no idea what
happened.
It's an
epidemic going around the NFL with kickers.
These kickers are horrible right now.
Yeah, they are. You would think you have one job. All you do all week.
The Falcons have a great kicker. Brian barely misses. The Redskins' new kicker has been good.
The Eagles kicks cost them the game.
Yeah, exactly. Seriously.
He cost them. If you think about it, he missed the field goal and extra point.
He's right, though. I know, right? He's right, though. He's right.
These kickers
are missing extra points, extra points now. I mean, obviously, because they pushed it back, but still, you're missing, 30-yard kicks. You still should make a 30-yard kick.
I'm sorry. You have one job all week. Kick.
It's amazing.
Kick into the net during the game. All you do is kick into the net during the game.
You feel like somebody who is confident shooting a basketball, correct?
Right.
But as soon as people came to watch, it got harder, didn't it?
I hate you. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
You're
so
right.
It's one thing to kick all week, in front of 70,000 people is hard work, bro.
He's so right.
I don't care what you say.
Why you got to call me out, though? The real thing, you're 110% correct, though.
I was giving an example. Here's the thing. Now, Will could argue, look, you do this every week. You know it's going to be people at the game. You kick every week for a living. But still. And the weather wasn't the greatest either. It was a lot of things that factored in. And step on a football field, 30 yards is far to kick a football, in my opinion. But they're professionals, though.
True. You'll never hear me say that's something that I could do.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never hear me say,
I can make a 10-yard all day.
But all right, real quick, we got speed through this. Sorry. No, you're good though. You're good. Dolphins fire Joe Philbin, who should be
and replace him with the tight end coach. What?
Dan Campbell. I know.
That's a joke.
Not the Orlando Breakers.
I know.
That's a joke. You replace.
Y'all know what Orlando Breakers are, do y'all?
That's the coach.
That's a coach. Remember?
That's coach? What a coach. I thought it was I thought it was the game or something like that.
No. But again, that's the Sabres.
Oh, it's the Sabres, right. Yeah. Okay. Coach with – what's his name? Coach with the bald head dude. Hmm? And he coached Minnesota. He coached Minnesota first.
Minnesota, that's what I'm saying.
I know what I'm talking about.
Go ahead,
but do you guys agree with me, what type of – what rationale would you go? You have an offensive coordinator.
I couldn't take the coach from Miami seriously because he left the father off the Step Brothers. Every time I looked at him, he left the father stuff.
You know what?
I'll
be honest with you. That's hilarious too, by the way. I'll be honest. I could care less about Miami. I thought it was hilarious how in this area Sue is being called Haynesworth.
I know. I think that's hilarious. I think that's disrespectful.
It's extremely disrespectful.
That's disrespectful.
Yeah, but
he hasn't done anything. But it's not.
He's not making plays. Well,
it wasn't a good system for him, to be honest with you.
Here's the thing. You can be a clown, but you have to be good.
Yeah, true.
Did you see J.J. Watt pose with Slater, AC Slater, yeah, yeah, and so talking about, yeah, they didn't play Valley this week. I'm like, you're losing. What are you doing? But you're J.J. Watt. You can do that.
Away with it.
And it doesn't matter. But when you're not playing well like Sue is, this is what happens.
All right, so Will T., you talk about the quarters. We had the quarter mark. All right, first four games of the season.
Good job.
All right, so who would you say has impressed you, or what have you learned within that time?
So one thing that I stated previously, one thing we do know is Julio Jones has been the best offensive player in the first quarter of the season. The second thing that I think that I see, that I know is this Buffalo Bills team should be taken serious. Tyrod Taylor. I'm not saying he's going to be an elite quarterback, but he's a quarterback that can get you to 10-6. He can make plays with his arm and with his legs. So I think the Buffalo Bills, I think we, you know, how everyone was questioning which team out of those three in the AFC East was going to make a run at the Patriots. I think we see this first quarter of the season has taught me, I think that the answer is the Buffalo Bills.
Well, the Jets haven't had an opportunity to play them yet. Yeah, that's a little premature. But that's your opinion, though.
It's my opinion.
You have every right to have it. You have every right to be wrong, too. First quarter of the season, first of all, Jameis Winston is struggling. That's one thing. I thought he was NFL ready. Clearly, he is not. And he's in a situation where the organization needs him to play well now. Tampa, you got jobs on the line. This is not Peyton in Indianapolis. Indianapolis was bad for so long. Tampa actually has a winning tradition. They won a Super Bowl. You had good players, Warren Sapp, Simeon Rice. You know what I'm talking about, John Lynch. I'm shocked that Jameis is not the guy who I thought he was thus far. Even though most people, because everybody thought he was going to be good off the break, would say, oh, well, you know what? We got to give him time, just like any rookie. Secondly, I think Tom Brady's the biggest storyline coming out of the first quarter for the simple fact that, you know, there were questions about him. So much was not about football in the offseason, and now look at him. He's still proven that he's the best at it. That's where I have the argument. Julio is my man, but Tom Brady, one could argue he's been the best offensive player in the first quarter. And then Carolina. I think the jury's still out on them, although I know they can beat Atlanta. Don't get me wrong. I think the schedule is a travesty that Atlanta doesn't play them until December, based on the fact that they smashed Atlanta at the end of the last season. But also, who has Carolina beat so far? They beat the Saints without Drew Brees. They beat Tampa with Jameis, and they beat Jacksonville. And who else? Who else? Are they play Seattle this week coming, right? So finally, they get a test.
Mm-hmm. For me, one. Michael Bennett said it best last night. Pay the man. Cam Chancellor is very important to the Seattle Seahawks. You saw the big play he made against Detroit, and you saw the impact he had not just as a player, but as a leader, even against in the Chicago game. So they're 2-0 with Cam Chancellor in the game. Also, I know it's a short sample size, but Gurley is the truth. I think Gurley is the truth. You see what a healthy Gurley can do against an Arizona team that a lot of people thought that defense was stout. I don't like you, Ray, right now. That though was stout, and what he did against that team, I believe he had like 146 yards in his first game as a starter. I think it was Sharon Curry's the game before.
Yeah, he shared carries the game
before. So look at the work he's done, and also another one's the NFC East, how open it is. A lot of people thought that initially that this division would be dominated by Dallas Cowboys or Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, it shows that it's a crapshoot. Any team right now can win the NFC East. So that's the first. Those are the things I've learned within the first quarter of the season. Now it's time for our picks. Last week, Will went 10-5. I went 8-7. So Will is 37-25, and I'm 36-20. I'm 36-26. So Will has one game. He's one game up on me. Now we have Ray Jeezy back on it. So obviously Ray can't catch up within the games, but Ray can have a better percentage. So he's still in the mix of, you know, within this whole pick thing. So Colts versus Texans. Started off Will T.
Colts.
What you got, Ray?
Colts.
I'm gonna go with the Colts as well. Bears versus Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Chiefs. I'm gonna go with the Chiefs. Ray.
I like Jay Cutler.
You want the Bears?
Bears.
All right. Redskins versus Falcons.
Falcons.
Ray?
Falcons. All day. Hail to the Redskins.
Hail to the Redskins. I got the Redskins.
Man.
Redskins. I'm going with the Redskins.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I am.
Oh, because you have to.
I am the Mr. Redskins.
I mean, they can win.
They can win the game.
Okay.
I pick them every week, so
Atlanta,
obviously.
Atlanta.
Jacksonville versus the Bucks.
I think the Bucks have more talent than Jacksonville this week.
Why are we picking this game?
We'll pick all games.
I'm going all games. Mm-hmm. Crap. I'm late. Late to the
Give
game.
Me the Bucks.
What? You said, I know, right? It's not a main. It's not a prime time game.
I'm going Jacksonville.
Give me the Buccaneers in this one. Jameis needs a big game.
Real safe.
Saints versus Eagles. No, I'm picking. I'm picking the real stuff.
Give me the Eagles.
After the Redskins, didn't I? This is in Philadelphia, so yeah. Who you got?
Eagles.
Give me the Eagles as well. Rams versus Packers. Watch me not. I'm not gonna be safe here.
Rams. Give me the Rams.
Rams. Give me the Rams. It's in Green Bay. It's in Green Bay.
I'm going Green Bay.
You being real safe.
Browns Ravens.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Browns versus Ravens.
Ravens.
Ravens. Bills Titans. It's in Tennessee.
Give me the Bills.
I'll take the Bills.
Bills. Cardinals versus Lions. In Detroit.
It's tough.
Give me the Cardinals. The Lions just can't cover anyone.
Give me the man when he's down. Give him the Cardinals.
Give me the Lions, man. Come on, man. Give me a W, man. This is my Super Bowl pick, honestly.
Really?
Oh. To get to the bowl. Mm-hmm.
I told you, epically wrong.
Patriots versus Cowboys. This shouldn't be that hard anyway.
Patriots.
Broncos versus Raiders in Oakland.
Broncos.
Niners versus Giants.
Giants.
Oh, I want to change my pick. I want Raiders at home. That's a good one, bro.
You want to go to Raiders?
No.
All right. Who you got? The last one.
Last one? What was it?
Niners Giants? Yeah. In New York.
Giants.
Yeah, Giants as well. Colin Kaepernick, it's horrible.
The Seahawks don't play the Panthers this week?
No, they got a bye. Don't
it's
a
bye week? It's bye week for the
It's the following week.
For the Patriots. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the Jets and the
Seahawks.
Panthers.
Oh.
The Seahawks. We did the Seahawks, right, didn't I? Did I pick the Seahawks? Are they even on the schedule?
I don't think
Seahawks play this week.
They don't?
The Panthers aren't play either.
Panthers don't play this week.
The Panthers don't
nor
play
do the Jets.
Let me see if the Seahawks play this
week. Yeah, find that out later on. Anyway, we're about to commercial break. We'll do it after the break. Ooh. And we're back from break. We'll talk about the Wizards. The Wizards dominating win over the Sixers, 95-125. Was that right? Or 129?
129-95.
Ooh, the Wizards looking good. Otto Porter, man. Automatic.
Hey, it's the Bengals this Sunday.
It's the Bengals. Seahawks. I missed that one. I'm sorry. Bengals, Seahawks. Add that in. Bengals, Seahawks. Where's the game at?
At Cincy.
At Cincy?
Come on, have some stones.
Give me Cincy.
I'm getting Cincy.
Seattle. All
right, good. Let me add that one in. Thanks, Ray G. All right, it's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Doses.
I can't watch.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
Yeah, I try to make it next month soon up there. Fucking shredder she wrote.
How much money is that?
Jello Beats, holla at me.
And chewy on some hot, like I told Tish, I see when I sh. Like you seen him twirl, then he drops. And we keep them to my block. And Monte keep it on him, he done drop. And we be wildin', he some hot. Tones known to get busy with them. Try to run down and you could catch. Running through these checks till I pass out. Pass out. Shorty give me neck till I pass out.
Pass out.
All I do is cash out.
Out.
And if you ain't up.
Picking on my cash route. Oh, all right, we're back from break. You can call the number 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of the BDSIR network. All right, Wizards just beat the 76ers in preseason now. Preseason, 95-129.
Thought. 129 to 95.
Same thing, 95-129.
You always say the hot, the winner team.
I know, sorry, bro.
I understand that.
Should I? I should be always doing that. You understand that logic too? All right, 129 to 95.
It's not conventional.
Look, you good? I just did it for you.
I'm
129 to 95.
I'm just, you know.
Yeah, they won the game. 129 to
95. They won.
That's the right way to say it.
At home. At home preseason.
On the road.
Who?
That was a road game.
It was a home game.
It was a home game.
Gosh, that looked like a road game.
It was
nobody
home
was there.
Look, it's empty. It's empty.
It wasn't watching. My bad. Shut up, Ray.
You know, coming into the season, everyone thought this team would be one of the top teams in the East. The biggest question about this team was Otto Porter. Would he develop and fill in for Paul Pierce as Paul Pierce went to the Clippers? Just going off of this game, we saw a far more confident and assertive Otto Porter. Otto looks like he could be that playoff series was the starting point where he's starting to go up and up and up after he had been kind of below average and
below coming average. Up to I wouldn't say point. Below average.
Lack of playing time.
There you, that's better. Lack of playing time,
which is gonna make my point.
So you know,
below
hopefully,
average. That's
hopefully,
jacked up.
What? No, I'm just saying he hadn't lived up to expectations.
That's true.
As a number
that's
three
true.
Pick.
That's real talk.
Up until last
I think,
year, in the playoffs.
I think he gets better every year. I really do, and I think
he did the same thing in Georgetown.
Like you said, he didn't get the opportunities last year. That's not the biggest thing coming into the season for me. That's not the biggest question. The biggest question is Randy Whitman. I believe that he may have reached the ceiling with this team. I don't think he can take them much further. I believe that with the talent that this team has, and in the way the league is going, fast paced, small ball, a lot of 3-point shooting, the Wizards might need another coach. We'll see. The expectations are high, clearly. You have to make the Eastern Conference Finals, or I think he's gone. I don't believe that another run into the second round is going to work, because this is what you expect. You're starting to get deeper into the playoffs on a more consistent basis. This was okay for Antoine Jameson and his crew wearing round 2 t-shirts, but that's no longer acceptable. You believe in your heart that you can that you can play with Cleveland, because everyone, it's been a consensus, said if John Wall didn't get hurt, what if? Definitely the Wizards would have gave them a better series. The Wizards believed it themselves. So it's time to prove it. Eastern Conference Finals or die, baby. That's what that is coming. I'm telling you. And then if you want KD, you're going to have to make it far.
Well, the good thing, like we saw here, that Otto Porter looks like he's confident. It's preseason, though, so we can take it for so much. But he looks confident within this team. And even though reports are, and even within the blog on our Urban Sports Team blog site page, states about how Otto Porter even stated he needs to be more aggressive, and that's who his goal was coming into the season, to be more aggressive. Now he got his feet wet within the playoffs, but now it's time to be aggressive. We saw highlights right now of Chris Humphries shooting a three. They want to make his goal was to be put into that stretch four. He wanted to be a stretch four type of player. So now he's trying to expand his role and expand his range from the perimeter. So if he can do that, you have a four who can shoot threes and now, you know, and rebound and play good defense. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be Paul Pierce, but you could still that you just turned him into a nice weapon. We saw what Drew Gooden did in the playoffs, being that stretch four kind of guy, but he's an older player. So again, this team has definitely filled some voids within need within shooters, Gary Neal. You have what's his name? Anderson, Allen Anderson, good 3-point shooter. Dudley, who's a good 3-point shooter. We heard a lot of talk in the regular season how the Wizards couldn't shoot the 3-ball. Now, granted, it improved in the postseason, but you've now helped out that situation within some of the signings they made. So, and we saw it within this game. They made a lot of threes in this game. You know, just by watching the highlights, they made a lot of threes. Well,
and also look at the margin of victory. That's big. Because this is what you're supposed to do.
That's
you're
true.
Supposed to beat the brakes at home off of the 76ers. Also,
D-League team.
Yeah.
Also,
it shows depth too.
Otto Porter is depth. A better defender than Paul Pierce.
True.
At this stage of Paul Pierce's career. So I don't think you're going to have that liability no more. And Randy Whitman, to me, has been a good defensive coach. And the team has improved defensively. John Wall is getting better and better every year on defense, in my opinion. So that's going to be big going into the season. Otto Porter stepping into the lineup, getting more playing time, hopefully, because I don't trust Randy Whitman. I really don't. I don't understand his lineups. Is Nene not starting this season at all?
No, he's not. He's not. Humphrey, he's not going to start. He's going to back up Gortat. They want that stretch forward. They want to play fast. That's the goal for the Wizards. They want to be an up-tempo team.
I want to see how that's going to work out.
It's conducive to John Wall. Let's be real.
Because here's the thing. Again, if you're going to get Kevin Durant next year, or at least you're going to make a good pitch for him.
That's a good play for him now. Up-tempo.
Then here's the thing. Why are you going to leave Serge Ibaka and Enes Kanter for who? Marcin Gortat?
Marcin Gortat.
And Chris Humphreys? Seriously? They're going to have to play the expectations or exceed expectations.
But you could say this, though. Instead of being a beast of being that West, I'm in the East. You know, I'm fighting against the East, lesser competition.
But even then, you still have Cleveland. You know, LeBron's not going anywhere.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, like, you're
Milwaukee's going to be a
It's
team
a decent team, but you're not saying San Antonio.
Yeah, but like Ray said, you want to show that I'm one piece away.
That's
you're
true.
The guy that can put us Absolutely. Over the top.
Like your blog said.
It's going to say. I haven't put
oh,
it out
like
yet.
Yeah, like,
I'm,
sorry.
Going to, I'm going to put it out. But I agree with what you're saying. Here's the thing, though. If OKC, which they prove they can do, takes care of business in the regular season, a la Golden State, you can, if you get the right seeding, you can get the good matchups for the simple fact that, look, number one seed plays the eighth seed, right? That's the worst team in the Western Conference. I don't mind that for OKC because you watch the Clippers and the Spurs and Houston. Everybody else beat up on each other, and then you get the leftovers at the top seed. If you can do that, seeding is going to be important. The regular season will be vital. Russell Westbrook, you already know he plays like a maniac. They have a chance to get that top seed. So if they do that, they can still get to the finals, and it can be similar to what you had to go through in the East. Not the same, but everybody feels as though – not everybody, I keep saying that – experts, NBA experts, yeah. From what I've seen, or quote-unquote experts, what they've said is Golden State did duck San Antonio. They did duck the Clippers. They had an easier road to the finals, although Cleveland had a much easier road, too.
All right, well, we're about to shut this show down. Nice always a blessing doing the show. Before we leave the show, any passing words, any words, of wisdom?
How about we stay up all night?
Crunch cookies.
Sight. You know what? I can't look. We ain't gonna do this, man. All right, I'm gonna say something cool. It's great to have Ray Jeezy back. It's a blessing. All Appreciate three it. Of us back.
Appreciate it.
You know, it's always it's perfect energy when all three of us together.
It man. Is.
I really believe. I mean that too. I'm not
like three the hard way, man.
All right, man. All right. It's a blessing doing the show for all you all to listen to us, and we love giving you sports feedback and our opinions, and also we appreciate the support. Within the tweets, Facebook likes, followers on Instagram, followers on Facebook. Followers on Twitter. It's been a blessing. I really appreciate you all.
It is. You know what I was actually going to do?
What you going to do, man?
I was actually going to text you Saturday night and during the fight, I was going to tweet. I still haven't worked my way up to tweeting yet. I haven't sent out the tweet
College
yet.
Football.
You got one there?
You got to find him.
Nah, I was going to use our.
We're going to use yours. Yeah.
Yeah, I got you. All right. Hey, man, it's a blessing. You all have a blessing. Y'all stay blessed. Hey, Mecca, lead us out, homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.